Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are lots of things, if you want to be angry, to get upset about these days.
Great.
Like real problems, Tommy. This is not one of those real problems. Because a simple idea that we admit may be a little strange has one man like freaking out.
What happened?
A hot meal vending machine that is going to end American values as we know them.
Chicken parm. They're doomus.
Communism. You hanging out at the Breaker, brought to you just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago,
what happened?
We told you about a new food option that is available at the Rochester malls, all three of them.
Yeah.
It's called Home Chow. It is a vending machine that will sell you full hot meals ready to eat right out of the machine.
Nice.
We're talking things like chicken parm dinners, noodles and dumplings.
Yeah.
Runs the gamut. You pay, the machine heats it up, spits it out, and voila, dinner right there. And it's an interesting concept for folks to eat on the go. And when we talked about it, this is actually the third time we're discussing this.
Yeah.
We had two questions the last time, the break that brought this letter on. One, how good was the actual quality of the food?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is a full meal out of a vending machine that's been heated up.
Could be sketch.
But the bigger question we had, and the reason we had the discussion in the first place, why would the malls that have food courts and multiple standalone restaurants think this would be a selling point? But those are really our only issues with the idea.
Yeah. Right?
One man heard that discussion and decided there was a bigger problem.
Oh, we didn't see it.
Yeah. And in fact, he's upset we didn't see it. Because selling a hot meal out of a vending machine, Tommy, according to this guy, is an assault on traditional American family values.
That's bad.
Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck. By the way, the role of this angry man today will be played by Kimmy.
Okay.
Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
I listened to your entire talk about hot meal vending machines that are now in the mall, and I have a question I would love one of you to answer. Why did no one mention how this changes the dynamic of the American family? When I grew up, you got home from school to see mom starting to make dinner. Then when dad got home, dinner was hot and ready on the table. It had real ingredients made from scratch, and it was good for you. And it wasn't just about the food, it was the time that families spent together. The further we get away from the family dinner, the worse the world gets. And you can see it every single day. This vending machine isn't about fast, hot meals. It's another piece of the authentic American family experience being chipped away. It takes away a role in a family. It quiets the communication between parents and kids. It makes you think it's okay to trust whatever food is put in your hands by someone who you didn't know that prepared it. I am alarmed with how laid back all of you were about this. How about you have a real discussion on what effect this has on the nuclear, authentic, traditional American family instead of guessing what the pasta that comes out of the machine tastes like? Sincerely, Matt.
This meal vending machine is ruining America!
Man, what world is he even talking about? That would have to be 60 years ago minimum when that lifestyle existed.
I'm going to ask
you. Or died.
I'm with you. An honest question for Matt here. And if you're listening, Matt, I would love for you to call the show, right? All right. Honest question. Have you never heard of a restaurant?
No.
Or McDonald's.
Thank you.
Or any type of hot fast food.
Let's do this. Any building that exists where they will prepare you hot food and they will hand it to you and you can take it to eat anywhere you want to go. Has he never seen a drive-through or a food truck?
Not a new concept.
Did he just wake up from a 70-year coma? Of all the issues a person can have with these food vending machines, I did not see ruining American families as one of them.
With a hot meal.
You're already at a mall in a food court.
Thank you.
You're at home.
With your family.
You want to get Burger King? No, that's not fast enough. Food vending machine? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. But beside that obvious hole in his anger logic, we have to talk about what Matt said.
Okay.
So, Tommy, I've learned something the last couple of years.
What'd you learn?
When someone starts a sentence with, when I was a kid, there is a 75% chance you're about to hear a massive out-of-touch take.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm.
Because Matt longs for the days of the stay-at-home mom spending her mornings cleaning the house while the kids are at school. And then it's showtime.
Mm-hmm.
Quote Matt's letter. When I grew up, you got home to see mom starting to make dinner. Then when dad got home, dinner was hot and ready on the table.
And so was mama.
Yeah. Also, where's my dinner, bitch? Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of what he's asking.
That's the That's the late 50s.
Yeah.
Early 60s.
I mean, maybe he only has MeTV and gets Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Possible. He then proves that point, the where's my dinner, bitch point, with another quote further down the page.
What does he say?
Quote, it's another piece of the authentic American family experience being chipped away. It takes away a role in the family.
What's mom going to do now? I mean, she's not cooking.
She's got these hands and that mom brain.
Right.
That's good for cooking.
I guess she's screwed.
What else do you do? Hmm. Does she use these hands to dig a hole in the backyard simply to keep herself busy? Because, Tommy, tell me if I'm wrong.
Good.
It sounds like Matt is arguing, and the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263, that a woman should know her role and have a hot meal on the table when I, as the husband, walk through the door.
Right.
It's kind of what he's saying here.
He's the breadwinner. You take care of the house.
Okay.
With fresh ingredients,
fresh
too.
From
none
scratch.
None of that microwavable stuff.
This is my mother.
He said from scratch.
Yes.
Though. Yes, no, he is describing your mother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's basically describing, but that died in the 1970s. Yeah.
Like, how old is he where he would have to be
my
age
or older.
Exactly.
And even and he also does that old man thing, how they kind of remember the way it was.
Yeah.
Because even my brothers will talk about their life like it was some Norman Rockwell experience when it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's like selective memory.
I mean, look, we're all guilty of that.
We are. But to like say it out loud like it really existed is a little foolish.
But he does believe it seems. And maybe Matt's experience was this, right? Maybe as a kid, that's all he remembers, the positive parts about it. Until this damn hot meal vending machine showed
up. Destroyed America.
Destroyed our country. And look, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Those family mealtimes are fantastic. But the way life is right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost impossible.
Couldn't do it if you wanted to for most families. Especially once your kids reach a certain age.
Thank
guessing.
You. Like, the consistent family meal times are almost impossible. Like, look, I love my wife's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
She is amazing. I'm not going to tell her to stop seeing patients so I can get a kick-ass meatloaf at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Right.
How could you look at someone you love who is doing something independently for themselves and say, hey, listen, stop all that, right? Make sure that
making money that we need.
That too. Or, I mean, forget, maybe if you stop the passion that you have for something. Mm-hmm. Me and the kids need everything the second we demand it.
And what do you think you're getting out of that family meal time? Like, you're going to sit down.
See, here's where he takes it too far.
No, I'm not. I'm going to take it just far enough.
Oh, I can't wait.
I will say family meal time was where I got all the family gossip.
But our
parents would like not say names. We knew who they were talking about.
But that's not a healthy, I guess it's like, I didn't want to share my day with them.
Okay.
You didn't either, right? So you didn't want to talk to them.
I did have a pretty big mouth.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just like you either got scolded or schooled or they just talked to themselves because you're like a little kid, you can't participate.
Okay.
Yeah. There was no like round table of, let's all grow as a family here.
I would actually argue some of the best family meals, sit-down meals we had where everybody's in a great mood was at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was there.
Yeah, it's a good
nobody
point.
Nobody was
getting
stressed
fun food.
Out.
Yeah.
We all were getting something we wanted.
And nobody had to clean the dishes. Yeah. Nobody had to prepare that stuff for you. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And I've seen your family eat. You can't tell me there was any discussion going on at that table. It was just mouth and elbow.
What the hell's that supposed to mean?
Because you all hogged down. I watched you eat.
Well,
and I've seen your brother eat.
And how the hell are you supposed to?
And your daddy.
You can't get rid of 5 pounds of pasta talking and eating at the same time.
Yeah, I remember having plenty of family dinners as a kid where there were tears involved because my dad was a big finish all everything on your plate guy.
Gotcha. Well, there are starving kids in Africa or China, depending on the generation you grew up.
So, if I wasn't into those vegetables, well, I was sitting at that table until those vegetables were gone, no matter how many hours it took.
Why would you go? Okay, can we quick sidebar?
Yeah.
Because I'm having the same argument with my kids, and it's always the green stuff, like eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
Why not just eat them? You're going to sit here for an hour to prove a point?
As a kid, you're like,
but
you just can't stomach it.
It's a losing battle.
I would hold out.
Okay, why?
Like, but eventually he's going to tell me I got to go to bed.
It's like trying to fist fight a train. You're going to lose. Just eat the vegetables.
Why just bail on the vegetables? They're not going to eat them.
Look at me. You just, yeah, is, you I'm sure you have family. Yeah, it's an elbows. Why don't you let your kids
He's speaking from a grandpa's perspective now.
Yeah, who needs to fight over
broccoli?
Because my grandma's
there, she's like, yeah, let her go eat snacks.
Yeah.
All right, look, to the point you made a second ago.
I always think of like a fat kid falls asleep quicker.
To the point you
Right? Done for the day.
Well, because their airways are blocked.
Yeah, they're just so tired and lethargic. They're just going to pass out on you. And they'll shut up. Skinny kids are just whine forever. Got all that goddamn energy.
I'm going to take it just far enough, he said. To the point you made earlier about family dinners not being fun as a kid.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This is a selfish thing for me. I enjoy them now.
Yeah.
As I like spending the time with my wife and my kids there. Mm-hmm. It also, if I'm being honest with you, kind of checks a box of like, I did my time today with my family.
All right.
Is that bad to say?
Okay. No, it's like a to-do list. Okay.
252 WCMF, hate mail of the week. A man named Matt writes us after we talked about the new hot meal vending machines, full hot meals right out of a machine, that are now in all the Rochester malls, said that these vending machines are ruining the fabric of the American family, because there was a time.
It was a fat time.
Thank you, where wives stayed home and they made dinner from scratch with all the ingredients. And dinner was on the table when dad walked in from work, and that's what America is, and that's gone. That he's never heard of restaurants, apparently, or drive-thrus or anything like that. What might be the funniest part of this idea from Matt in his letter?
What's that?
So it is amazing how the show is flowing completely by accident today. Mm-hmm. We learned last year that stay-at-home parents are back, much like that Facebook message we got around 7.
Yeah.
The numbers skyrocketed thanks to the cost of childcare. It is now estimated that 1 in 4 American families now have a stay-at-home mom or dad again.
Wow, have.
If I remember correctly, it was like 10 times the amount we saw like 10 years ago.
Damn.
And if you stop right there,
yep,
you could assume that those people have hot meals made from scratch on the table every night for a family dinner. Except it could also be impossible for them to do it, too.
Okay.
Because even if you are a stay-at-home parent, if your kid does any activity, sports, club, instrument, that's 1 to 3 nights a week you're running them around.
Yeah.
And that's per kid. And don't even get me started when it comes to games or performances or whatever else on the weekend.
Yeah.
So even if you had the time to prepare stuff, you probably don't have the time to sit as a family and all eat it together.
Yeah. And you ain't scratching. You ain't doing scratch cooking. I mean, you don't have to anymore.
Some people do enjoy it.
But, I mean, the majority, you don't have to anymore.
Yes.
You got so many options out there now when you're cooking dinner compared to what my mother had.
Okay, but there are people that are conscious of what goes in the food their family eats.
No, I understand.
Right? There are people who enjoy the challenge of cooking new things. There are folks that also enjoy what they think will be the appreciation from their other family members. Like, look what I have made from you with my bare hands.
Yeah, the love I have put into this meal.
I'm not saying this is a bad thing.
No.
I just think that Matt's an idiot for thinking a vending machine has destroyed America.
No, yeah. Of course not.
Right?
The hell of a machine.
But before we wrap this whole discussion up, I think the most important question here based on Maddie's letter.
What's that?
Have you asked the role-playing meal maker, you know, this fantasy that lives in Madison, if that's the role they want?
Oh.
Or if it's just the way it all fell into place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like, here's the thing. Like, if my wife came to me and said, hey, I would like to be a stay-at-home mom and make from-scratch meals every day. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. We're going to move.
Yeah.
We're going to have to move now.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, good. But, like, if you were to ask your mother how she really felt about being your father's maid and cook.
She wouldn't do that, man.
Okay.
It was enslavement.
Like, there are women who would love to do it. There are guys who would love to do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that my wife will stay home and raise our kids and make sure my dinner's hot on the table when she walks through the door just because she's your wife is nuts.
Man, those days are gone.
But
they should be.
But here's the thing. I also get that it was socially accepted back in the day, right? So it would be hard for someone who's living that life on a daily basis their entire lives to understand this might be not the best thing in the world. But now.
Yeah, that train is gone.
What are you doing, man?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, Matt? I'm guessing Matt's not married is what I'm guessing. That?
Yeah. Yeah, because like you said, he's thinking back to when he was a kid, not necessarily what it would be like to have a family now.
I hope so. And granted, it came with a stamp through the mail, so that's mostly older folks.
Yeah.
But I don't know, is Matt an old... when's the last time you met an old Matt?
Yeah, Matt's a middle-of-the-road name.
I mean, the Bible, but other than that guy.
But he was Matthew.
Well, yeah.
They didn't call him Matt.
Oh, But Matt's probably a Matthew, I would guess.
Well, nobody's saying, like, you know, Tommy is assuming old man is going to use his proper name.
Oh, I gotcha.
My name is Matthew.
He's got a mouth injury, too.
Yes.
The food that his wife made from scratch burned his mouth, and then he started yelling.
It's too goddamn hot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking, it kind of happened naturally in my house that my mom was the cook, just because if my dad was given that responsibility, we'd all be full of cheese all the time.
Yeah.
Everything had cheese in it. Mac and cheese, grilled cheese, tuna melts, hamburger helper. Everything, he just add more and more cheese.
Well,
so to save us, my mom cooked most of our meals.
The traditional dad believes he has one meal, whatever it is.
Yeah, his signature dish.
Exactly. Like my dad, a 6'4" Irishman, thought he knew how to make sauce.
Mm.
Wait.
Well, but you said it was it bad?
Well, he didn't know. You didn't know.
Well, no,
sauce.
I did, because I grew up in Gates, man. I was at Sunday Sauce at all my buddy's house all the time, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, look, it wasn't bad. You could clean the floor with it.
Okay.
It was.
So it was bad?
Didn't he stir it with his pistol?
It wasn't bad.
Okay.
It was like a thin, runny. He worked at a restaurant when he was like 17 for like 2 weeks and claims he stole the recipe from this place, right?
Okay.
So he would, you know, that was like.
Was the place still in business?
So probably not.
So it was like watery marinara?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And he put like sausages and meatballs in there and like, you know.
Fatten it up a little bit.
It was like a big thing, right?
Yeah.
But like, was it? But if he had to cook. Any other time, he was making his sauce.
Okay.
That's it. There you go. But that's all he knew how to do. Like, you know, that or a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up and eat a sandwich.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyone who is a master of their craft is impressive.
Oh.
And this woman from our area is like one of the top 20 in the country.
Wow.
And is fighting to be number one. Tommy, there are some jobs where if you knew they were the best, you would go right to their spot.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Is this one of those jobs? Mm. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Angel Erickson works behind a bar.
Okay.
She manages the bar at Capoletti's in Brockport. And for the last 15 years, she has worked in different places around the greater Rochester area, mastering the craft of bartending.
All right.
Slinging drinks.
You got it. Mm. Kimmy picked up tips and tricks along the way for people she's worked under, and it looks like it's paid off.
What happened?
Angel is now a semifinalist in the National Bar Boss Competition.
Damn.
Story on News 8 says she could have an opportunity to compete head-to-head in Nashville. The winner takes home $20,000.
Damn.
And will appear on the cover of Food and Beverage magazine.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. The craziest part.
Yeah.
She didn't even nominate herself.
So how did she get nominated?
Yeah, how do you get recognized?
One of her coworkers was so impressed by the work that she does, they did it behind her back.
Okay.
And the coworker, when she got the call, was like, I hope you're not mad. I nominated you for Best Bartender.
So has she been competing all along here, or she just goes to Nashville for a show?
I don't believe she's been competing at all. I don't know how this works.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like she's just been keeping her head down doing her job.
All right.
And getting this far, period, is impressive.
No, sure.
Any attention like this for a local bar is a good thing.
Big time.
But Tommy, you are a man who claims to be a bar expert.
I have spent a lot of time in bars.
You are very particular about who is serving your booze.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. If you found out a bartender in Rochester was a top five bartender in America, would that be enough for you to go walk in and check out their
bar? Yeah, I think when I was back running and drinking, I would go.
Oh,
I'm
talking right now.
Not now.
No,
he doesn't
no.
leave Pittsburgh now.
I don't.
Yeah, no, because you got so much going on that keeps you from doing that.
I'm getting a little old in the drinking tooth.
Kidding.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
What?
Is the bartender more important to you than the type of bar you're at?
Well, I mean, usually the type of bar and the bartender kind of match up.
Well, but if you knew nothing about the bar, but you knew that she's the best bartender, at least in Rochester, would you be more concerned about the way she pours drinks or the place you're sitting inside of?
Probably the place I'm sitting inside of is Brockport, because I don't consider Brockport a drinking town.
What? It's a college town.
I get it, for kids, not for my.
So you're afraid of like it being a young person's bar?
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. I don't know. I am not familiar with Capoletti's. I don't know if that's like a place where the folks who live in town go.
It could be like a local joint.
Could you Google, Kimmy? If anybody knows, 252
WCMF. Like a neighborhood bar, or is it a college bar?
Exactly. No, because you're right. There is a difference between the college bar, but the fact that she's been in the business 15 years kind of tells me this is like a...
Could be. Could be a neighborhood joint.
Yeah, an older people
bar. Yeah.
It's nice. Kimmy says it's nice. Gotta be nice. It's got doors.
No, I wouldn't call... I definitely wouldn't call this, from what the pictures I see, a college bar.
Okay. Yeah. So you're telling me, if Angel here wins this competition and is named the best bar boss in America...
Number one.
You would not take a ride out to Brockport to see what all the...
No, I'm not going way out there for a scotch.
Okay.
What am I getting out of it?
A scotch? Wait. And an experience with the best bartender in America?
And I don't drink like a very complicated drink.
Yeah, so I feel like you'd be a bad judge of bartender because you drink the same thing everywhere you go. You're not going for a mixed drink. You're going for a specific
She's
pour.
Right. I, that's not an insult.
It's not
She's
like the bartender
right.
is making you that glass.
Oh, like if you're into these like artisanal, whatever you call it, drinks, or you want to go old school with your Manhattans and your martinis, I could see that.
I don't think
mine's whiskey, period.
I don't think you really heard what she told you. She's telling you that you are not the bartender expert that you claim to be.
Oh, when I say bartender, it's more about the personality
than
the actual drink, than the pour.
But I would assume someone who's been around 15 years and has the respect of their coworkers so much that they're nominating behind her back, she would also have that.
I'm not saying she's not a great bartender. She ain't worth my drive.
Wow.
Hey.
Wow.
He just throws his hands up. Hey, what?
I'm doing radio. I'll just put my hands up.
No, I'm not being insulting.
Insulting, says the man who just said the most insulting thing ever. She ain't worth my drive. Put that on a t-shirt and sell the rock show.
I'm a waste of her time, is what you should say.
Oh!
All right.
Okay, all right.
Because let's say she had like a signature cocktail that she was known for.
I mean, my wife wanted to go check it out.
She made the best. I mean, that's what I would go. I would go for the type of drink. More so than, you know, everything else.
Kimmy, I've heard this man, in the 20 years that I've known him, bitch and moan about bartenders on a semi-weekly basis.
Mm. I don't know how to do that. I can't do that.
Short pour.
And now we have, what might be the greatest bartender in America right here.
Yeah.
Am I going to get, no, I'm not driving.
That's not what I said.
Hey, what?
She ain't worth my drive.
252 WCMF. 252-9263. We're talking about this woman, Angel Erickson. She is a semifinalist for the National Bar Boss Competition. If she wins, she has the opportunity to go to Nashville, go head-to-head to compete. If she wins, it's a $20,000 grand prize, the cover of Food and Beverage Magazine, but I think most impressively, you're the best bar boss in America. All right, Tommy, as the bartender expert of the break room, give me the three biggest things you need to see when you walk in to know someone's a good bartender.
Okay, first of all, I don't want to see like automated shots, like you're doing it out of a cannon. Okay, number one, I want to see a free hand pour.
Wait, so how about the little plastic things on the top of the bottle? Are those
you know
okay?
where you can put that?
Where's that?
Right up your brown. I don't want to see. I don't want to see that.
That doesn't sound health code good.
I don't want to see that.
So what, you want open bottles? Who does that anymore?
I've never seen
you
that.
You asked me what I want.
Well, no, but like, where did you drink?
Other choices still do.
Where did you drink Nevada in the 1850s?
No, there was like open bar pours.
I haven't seen that in a
I've never
long time.
Seen that.
Well, yeah, because you're drinking kid bars.
No, I was at the Pittsburgh pub the other day. Your quote,
the sports
bar.
But she was only there to ask directions on how to get away from it.
So that's what I'm looking for.
Okay,
I'm
so you want open bottles.
Yeah, number one.
Okay.
You want three?
I want, yeah. Come on, Mr. Expert. Oh, no, I got to get two more things.
I don't want to see kids behind a bar.
What's kids?
A kid.
No, yeah, give me a kid.
Your definition of kids is somebody in their 40s.
Thank you.
I want to see an older, gray-haired gentleman pouring me my drink. I know I'm getting a good drink.
Give me a minimum age of the bartender you will drink in front of.
I want his name to, I want him to be at least 45 to 50 base.
45 to 50?
And he's got
to
have one of those old school bartender names, like Bud or Guy.
Okay.
By the way, that's not, I would assume that bartender is at a bar that you wouldn't want to be drinking at. It's not fancy.
Oh, I drank
a Bud is not bartending at fancy upscale bar.
Let me tell you something. I spend a lot more time with buds than you have, young lady.
Yeah, you used to.
I've been bud and guy all my life. Especially on a Saturday night.
Bud is bartending at a dive bar. Those are not the places you drink.
You don't know.
No, I'm kind of with her on that. Like, I'd expect to meet a bud bartending at a bowling alley bar, not your joint.
Bud's got, like, you know, the beer opener attached to his belt, and he's ready to use it at any moment.
She's right. He's got a t-shirt that's slightly tight because he's put on some weight the last couple of years, but he can still kind of pull it off. You know what I'm saying? Bro, what
And he also doesn't have one of these wacky-ass hairdos.
What are you talking about?
You know, and,
I don't even know what you're describing.
And a lot of piercings and stuff. I want an older gentleman, gray hair, short conversation guy. You know what I'm talking about? Who was the guy that landed the plane in the Hudson? Sully?
You want an airline pilot serving you your drinks?
No, but I want that looking kind of guy. I want a Sully guy.
That's
his name?
Yes, Sully Sullivan. That bartender you're describing does not exist.
I know. That's why I stay home. You know, you wipe with me to these joints.
Yeah, the one place we would go to all the time when I was 21.
Retired now.
No, Kimmy, he was my age. I went to high school with him.
But that kid was good because I know the person that trained him. And another thing I like to see in a bartender, a vest.
Shut up. What, you drinking in Aladdin?
No, I like a vest. I like a guy dressed.
I
want a guy in a uniform,
you're
too.
You're an Annie. No!
Yes.
If I walk into a bar and
I want a uniform, clean cut. I'm not paying for your nose ring and your goddamn third neck tattoo.
Up.
And I don't want to. Here's the other thing. I don't care about your personal life. I don't want to hear it. Let's just keep it base. You know, you ask me what I like and then you shoot it down.
Who says vest?
But okay.
You ask me what I like.
A vest. I like men in vests.
I want to say I like a good looking man in a vest with no goddamn ink or. The nose ring over here.
And a little salt and pepper hair.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so you don't want them to talk about themselves, but you don't want to be asked questions.
No,
so
we just keep it base. We keep
having?
It base about drinking.
Well, you can't talk about sports.
I can talk about sports.
Well, no, that doesn't seem like something that would interest you.
No, you can't talk about sports.
I know sports.
You cannot talk about sports.
I watch all those sports on Netflix.
Like what?
Right now I'm watching rugby.
That's not. No, you're not.
Yes, I am. It's called Six Nations. I was just telling
No, that's not a sport. That's a reality show around sports. You're also not a boat captain, but you watch Below Deck.
Yeah, I can talk about yachting, sailing, all the regular guy stuff.
Okay, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about this woman, Angel, who has a chance to be essentially the best bartender in America.
I'm sure she's a great gal.
In this competition, Tommy, who thinks he is a bartender expert,
well, you know I did my time.
Says he will not drive out to Brockport to visit her, even though she could be the best in America because...
she ain't worth my drive.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you, brother?
Pretty good. Hey, I used to go to a bar in Buffalo, and the bartender was an older guy, but he had Tourette's syndrome. It was Tretchy's Bar right off Clinton Street in Buffalo.
Okay.
Now, this guy had Tourette's syndrome, and he'd order a drink, and then... he'd be normal, and all of a sudden he'd drop some F-bombs and start jerking around a little bit and then hand you your drink, everything. It was cool, you know? Everybody got accustomed to him. But his name, I kid you not, was Dick Lash. And I said, did God name you, or is that how you got Tourette's syndrome?
Oh, Paul.
God.
Oh, Paul.
That joke went so bad in so many ways.
No, it wasn't a joke. That the guy's name was.
No, I got it.
Yeah, we get you.
Paul, great call.
He had Tourette's.
I wrote it down, Paul.
Hey, this guy had this thing that, you know, tortured him his whole life.
But don't put him in my corner.
Made me laugh. No, what?
That's not my guy.
No, bro, he sounded just like you. He sounded just like you. Paul is your boy. You and Paul on a pirate ship together.
I ain't no Paul.
Sailing to see a couple of salt and pepper hair men with Tourette's.
Paul ain't worth my drive.
I don't know, man. I will say this. Whether or not this woman wins the competition, we know one thing for sure. She's tough.
Oh, yeah. To be a woman in that business is for that long?
15 years in food
service?
She
has seen it all.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, the things you have to deal with, the what you have to tolerate, the late nights, the crazy coworkers, awful managers.
Just the hospitality business in general.
That's what I'm like. That alone makes me want to go out to Brockport and have a drink.
I will say this. She's got stories, man. They probably go on forever.
But you don't want to hear her because she's not a sexy older man.
No, I told you, dude, one of my favorite bartenders was a woman, and you had drinks with her.
Yeah. Again, the two bartenders that I drank with you the most were a kid my age at the time and a woman.
Yes.
And I don't like women or young men.
Trained your boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, they were at different bars.
No, she trained him. She knew that. She knew your boy.
Listen to this.
And whether or not
I'm sorry. Most men can tell you about like farm systems of baseball teams. Yeah. He's doing who trained bartenders.
And whether or not they were great bartenders, they could have been. You wouldn't know because the only reason you liked anybody was because they gave you free stuff sometimes.
Thank you.
Shush, shush, shush.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you're going to make me pay for the drinks?
Really
this place sucks.
Job.
I like a heavy pour, a.k.a. you stealing booze from the place you work.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Thank God there was no witnesses to that.
Oh, no. I'll testify. Statute of limitations.
You took the drinks, too.
I was pressured. I was a young man. I was underage. I had no choice. I was scared of him, what he was capable of. 252 WCMF. We have devolved.
Should have dropped you off at Boys Town.
Kimmy doesn't know what that is.
I don't want to know.
Let's talk to Carl. Carl, you're on CMF. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Love the show. First time caller. Sounds like Tommy wants Sam Malone to be his server.
Last time caller, too.
These kids do not know what you're talking about.
I know
about.
Sam Malone.
Okay, well, Kimmy doesn't.
I do.
I know she does because she put Cheers reference in the little box.
Damn it.
Carl, how long ago did that show go off the air?
30 years.
Longer.
I think they...
no idea. I'm watching it for the first time on Roku.
Where have you been,
Wait,
Carl?
You never watched Cheers?
No, nope, never watched it growing up. We didn't have cable.
All right, can I ruin it for you? Coach dies in the first season.
By the way,
okay,
Carl.
So it ended in 1993.
All right, 93.
So that's the year I came here. So that's 32 years ago.
Wow. Carl, you didn't need cable to watch Cheers. It was on NBC.
Yeah, everybody watched that show. Is that in Taxi?
Wait, how old are you, Carl?
53.
Oh.
Carl, you're the saddest man I've ever met.
What did you talk about at work? You went to work, you broke down TV shows.
No, I worked maintenance for the first 20 years when I started working. And
okay, that's not my question, bro.
He didn't talk to anybody. Yeah. He left him alone because he
didn't
watch.
You just talk to a box of screws?
Yeah, pretty much.
Carl, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
You too.
There goes Carl, who's learning
just
about
watching Cheers.
You know the saddest part of that story? He's watching it on Roku.
Yes.
The free channel that comes in your TV.
That was free when you started in life.
We watch Baywatch after the show every day.
Out of necessity.
Yeah, but you're young.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then maybe we should switch over to Cheers.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
You knew there were going to be eyes on this game, but my God.
Really? That
big,
huh?
My God.
Because they set a record with an earlier game this year, the Bills.
The Bills have been actually setting television records several times over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. We'll jump right into it. I know we're slowly trying to work our way back to talking about the Bills without being furious or sad or, I don't know, despondent. yesterday, we learned, that the Bills-Chiefs AFC Championship game, outside of Super Bowls, was the second most watched football game in NFL history.
What was the other one?
Modern NFL history. I'll get to it.
No kidding.
So this game had 57.4 million viewers.
So what does a World Series Game 7 get?
Seven viewers.
Yeah.
Kimmy, can you Google the last Game 7 World Series number? Oh, well, look, give me Game 1 of this year because it was Yankees-Dodgers walk-off home run. Give me that one. Right? You had the biggest stars in baseball.
I can't even be close.
No, of course not. I mean, look, let's put it this way.
You said 57.4
million people. To put that in perspective, again, the every man, woman, and child in America is about 330 million. So that would be about one-sixth of every American. One in every six Americans was watching that game on Sunday night.
And that doesn't count, like, people at bars, right?
No, I think it does.
It does?
Yeah. Oh. They found a way to do it.
Mm. Game one of this year's, or 2024's World Series, 14.4 million.
Oh, man. Like Seinfeld reruns do better.
It averaged about 19 million.
Okay, so every game averaged around. Okay, so even if you average.
It's not even close.
I mean, it's less than half, and this isn't even the championship. It's the AFC championship. Mm-hmm. So you asked what game was higher. The only non-Super Bowl that had a higher rating were the Giants 49ers NFC Championship game in 2011. That was a 20-17 win over the 49ers with the Giants.
And those are two major markets.
And by the way, that only got 57. I mean, we had 57.4. Yeah. That got 57.6. To your point, Giants, San Francisco, you're right, bigger cities.
Big town.
These are two of the smallest markets in the NFL, and they garnered 57.4
That's
million.
That's impressive, man.
Eyes. So here's what I want to know.
Right, what do you want to know?
There are three reasons why people would have tuned into this game.
Mm-hmm.
One, because you wanted to see history made, thinking the Chiefs were going to go and have a chance of three-peat.
Mm.
Two, you hate the Chiefs so much that you want to see them lose that opportunity. Or three, the Bills are so entertaining, you wanted to watch Josh Allen do his thing. Which one is it?
Well, I was thinking it might be a fourth. You just wanted to see the head-to-head of the two best quarterbacks in the league.
Okay.
Because that doesn't always happen, right?
Sure, sure.
And they're in the same conference.
Yeah.
And there's a history.
Right. So, I mean, that has to have something to do with it, too. Those are probably the two most explosive quarterbacks in football right now.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Unless, you put Lamar in there, but he's out.
Yeah. And you got that the week before with Josh and Lamar.
I think it's that, but I just also think, especially this season, almost every primetime game the Bills have been a part of has just been one of the most entertaining finishes of the season up until that point.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking even games you thought were going to be kind of meh, like the Bills
Rams,
it was still like a you couldn't go to bed. You had to know what happened.
You're right.
And all the entertainments in the AFC, not the NFC.
Well,
all your most explosive players to me are in the AFC.
So to that point, we also have the numbers for the Eagles-Commanders game.
Gotta be sad.
It was the least-watched NFC Championship game since 2018. They drew 44.1 million viewers. By the way, it says only 44.1. Mm.
Yeah.
It's still triple the number or double the number on average.
But look at the difference between those two numbers.
Yeah.
Same day.
Well, yeah, same day, like one right after the other.
It also helps, though. I mean, the Bills are in a more primetime spot at 6:30. I mean, if you talk about time zones, all this stuff does matter.
Sure.
I mean, I think if you were to put Commanders-Eagles in that 6:30 spot, the numbers would have gone up a little bit.
But you ain't hitting that.
Agreed with you. I mean, I will say this, man. Like, the NFL, we know they're a juggernaut,
mm-hmm.
but they do such an unbelievable job of interesting you, getting people interested in whatever game is happening.
Yeah.
Because all season long, it's been playing up Mahomes versus Josh Allen, right? And, I mean, it's enough to make you think there's a conspiracy theory to get them there in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? But even with that NFC Championship game, right? The Eagles, the Commanders, Eagles and the America might be familiar with because of the Super Bowl.
And they've been there recently.
The Commanders.
They came out of nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah. And like for the NFL to be able to put Jaden Daniels, that rookie quarterback, up on a pedestal and let us all understand what he is, what he's trying to accomplish. He would have been the first rookie quarterback to ever play in a Super Bowl, and he won that game. He had unbelievable plays, you know, heart-stopping finishes all year long. I went and found a TV in the parking lot in Kansas City that someone set up because I wanted to watch a piece of that game. Did you watch any of it?
Well, a little bit. But it was like background at that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't really care.
Like, I mean, think about that. With a rookie quarterback that most of America wasn't familiar with. I mean, I bet you half of American football fans can't tell you who the head coach of the Washington Commanders is.
No, he looks like a walrus.
No.
He looks like a skinnier version of Andy Reid.
No, he doesn't. He's in great shape.
He's kind of portly.
Like
he's like portly shaped guy. I mean, I got the right guy. He's got like a gray. He's got like a gray mustache.
I see. Now I've got Dan Campbell in my head because
he
said it's
Looks like an out of shape
Dan Quinn. Yes,
he looks like an out of shape Dan Campbell.
He's in really good shape.
Not like
is
Dan
he?
Campbell, baby.
Calm down.
That boy's ripped.
Yeah, you want him to serve you some drinks? I bet in a vest.
Yes.
Vest rips off. All of a sudden, you got oil on your hands. You got to help him out. Quick.
Why is he not oily?
He's not oily yet till you get done with your job, buddy. What a weird fantasy you have.
There wasn't really... I would also argue with the Eagles Commanders. There wasn't really a bad guy. I mean, like, maybe you argue, like, I don't want to see the Eagles again. Lame.
Yeah, you're right.
But there wasn't, like, a team in it that you were strongly rooting against.
And nothing dazzles you there.
Okay. Well, no, but see, you guys are making two separate arguments because your argument that you stated is it's just a great game people want to see. Kimmy is now going down the road.
I think you need somebody to root against.
So you're saying that the evil of the Chiefs is what drove that number?
Oh, I mean, of all the teams that were left at that point, I think most people, unless you're a Chiefs fan, you're going to root against the top dog.
So here's where it gets complicated.
What's that?
I mean, so if you go back and look at the ratings of NFL games when the Patriots were going through their run,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of them trying to pull off their perfect
undefeated season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the end of Tom Brady's run in New England, numbers did not go up when the Patriots continued to have success. It's almost like people got sick of them.
And they weren't that entertaining. If you look at the actual games, compared to watching like Josh Allen, you know, those guys.
It's a different game.
Yeah,
now.
Out of the pocket, they're
sure.
crazy plays.
Sure.
I mean, Tom Brady was a pretty methodical, boring quarterback.
I guess the point I'm getting at is if the Chiefs continue this run that they're on,
mm-hmm.
it's going to hurt the NFL unless the Chiefs end up playing the Bills in the playoffs every single year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the more success they have, the less people are going to want to watch. And then there's rumors that Travis Kelce, the tight end in Kansas City, is going to end up retiring at the end of the season.
Well, he's getting pretty beat up.
Which he is, and I would understand that, but that takes the Taylor Swift equation
yeah.
out of it.
Right.
Like, the NFL.
I mean, he's the face of that team.
You don't want the Chiefs to keep winning. They are, they're aware of this.
Yeah. Because it gets mundane.
Well,
yeah.
Do you think, though,
so they maybe make the right calls on two plays to totally flip the game. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kimmy.
Do you think, though, the Chiefs, if they keep having this level of success and they start going after some of those Tom Brady, New England Patriots records, is that going to hold people over, you know?
Are you sick of them?
I mean, yes, personally, but it's, you know, they're the Bills' downfall every year.
I don't
know what it's like for other fans of other fan bases.
I think they're so overexposed.
Yes.
Because Brady never did a lot of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't endorse a lot of stuff nationally. Like, the way these guys are characters.
No, I mean, he's not wrong.
Well,
I mean, they're
that also
everything.
Wasn't as prevalent at the time either.
But it doesn't change
like,
the fact
right.
that they
you
are.
Were in a Gatorade
I mean, now the coach is in it. You know, yeah. I mean, the two players are in it. The fat coach is in it as, you know, he's almost like a Ralph Cramden character. I mean, yeah, this is a lot more Kansas City than you got with the Patriots.
I'd like to call my first time out of the show.
Good.
Thank you. We just killed Carl last break for calling up and making a Cheers reference. You crushed him. And then you followed that up calling Andy Reid Ralph Cramden, a show that went off the air right around when you were born.
Can't help himself.
Okay.
But, come on. Cramden's Cramden.
Ted Danson's still alive.
Ted Danson will never be Ralph Cramden.
You wait, buddy. You wait.
He lived too long.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.